Welcome back to Hour 5 in our series, The Conspiracy Hour, and this is the final segment for this week. I thought in the final segment we ought to take a little time and maybe talk to you about conspiracies in general. Not only will we cover the big ones like JFK and 9/11, but we'll cover some of the things that impact only a few people. But usually it's the state, the county, the nation, someone with authority taking advantage of someone else. Our experience has found that maybe many of these conspiracies are not just by the federal government, but by corporate entities, some with ties to the federal government, true. But there is this thing about human nature and conspiracies. They're all around us. Trust me. But let's get back to 9/11. And let's talk about why and how this series is put together and who's involved. Okay, let's start as we resume the story of 9/11.
I love you. I'm in the World Trade Center. The building was hit by something. I don't know if I'm going to get out, but I love you very much.
Hello, I'm Jerry Pippin, and we're working on the Internet's most independent behind-the-scenes series on 9/11. Who did it? Why? How? In an effort to get the real story, we have spent hundreds of man-hours of investigative reporting. One of those helping us is one of the nation's premier private eyes, Gordon Novell. Novell is one of the advisors for this series. We thought it would be a good idea to let you meet the real Gordon Novell. So here he is, up close and personal, to talk to us about Novell's lives, his loves, his adventures. Gordon Novell, welcome to the show.
Gordon, referred to as the private eye. You were a secret agent, I think. businessman. What kind of title do you want?
I'm sort of an industrialist.
Okay, an industrialist.
Yeah,
Okay, Gordon Novell, industrialist.
Yeah, right.
One of the things a lot of people don't understand or maybe haven't read about your background is you've been interested in the theater all along, too. You were at the Pasadena Playhouse, right?
As a kid, yeah.
I always wanted to make it there, never did. So if I remember correctly, you had to audition or something to get in.
Oh, yeah. You had to do a little number.
So what were you in?
I wasn't interested in acting as much as I was interested in producing and directing.
But You did something with Michael Todd. Remember him?
I worked for him when he was building his balloons and built some of those original display balloons that were used for the film.
So this is really, and I guess a lot of people say, well, Pippin, you can't need to settle down. You need to get into one area. But I don't even, I can't hold a candle to you, Gordon. You've done everything from Waco investigations to you name it.
Watergate, JFK, you name it. Worked on them all.
Now, a lot of people know you from the Kennedy movie. They got that wrong about you, didn't they?
The movie was right. It portrayed me as the Mr. X character who was advising Garrison inaccurately, which is what I was doing.
So that was a disinformation deal?
Yeah, I was kind of working at the White House at the same time I was working for Garrison, and he figured I was working for CIA, which was wrong, and decided to make me a CIA agent, which I've never been able to shed. And it's not that I want to shed it, it's just that
you get a good seat at a restaurant that way.
Yeah.
If you don't give him a good seat, he'll kill you.
That's right.
You've never killed
him. I avoid that assiduously. Not a good idea.
Yeah.
Bad karma. Lots of bad karma.
Well, and now I understand that you've been talking to some of your sources in Washington, and you're very connected to to some people in the CIA. If you didn't work for them, you know well know them pretty well.
We have a mutual admiration society.
Okay. Now, I know for a fact that you have certain people at the CIA that do have their arms around you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we have. Like I said, we're very affectionate.
And so there is an element of protection here. So, and you've had experience of doing things like this with people before.
Oh, yeah.
I think Lyndon Johnson said you grab them by whatever, you have their hearts and minds.
That was Chuck Colson. I used to work for Colson.
Oh, or Chuck said that.
Yeah, he's the one. Walk over his grandmother. Yeah. Get President Nixon elected.
Yeah. Now, you've worked with almost all types and all kinds of people there.
Yeah.
Over the years. When you did, they came a long way from the Pasadena Playhouse to working for Garrison and working out at the White House at the same time. How'd that happen?
Well, I was working at the White House doing an electronic countermeasures project called Checkmate. And when Garrison started to come out of the closet with his little fairy tale, they said, Gordon, don't you know him? And I said, yeah. And they said, well, can you get a job and kind of get us some inside information? Me, I thought I was James Bond, and I was really a jackass. And was wet behind the ears and didn't realize I was about to step on landmines. And but I did it anyway, and I got him and pretty much destroyed him. And I'm pretty proud of that because he was full of bull. He was really grand fraud.
You've been asked many times about JFK. You were involved with Waco too.
Yeah, I worked.
That was a civil suit, right?
Yeah, I worked for Ramsey Clark, and we prepared a civil suit. We took to the Supreme Court.
Now he's a former Attorney General, of course.
Yeah, I worked for him for a decade.
And when you talk about Ramsey Clark, a lot of people, he had a high profile, still does. He's still practicing, right?
Yeah, his last case he lost. Saddam got hung. he represented Saddam Hussein, and they lost.
You really didn't go out looking for controversy all the time, even though you got an interesting kind of a character trait that I have. Sometimes it's fun to get in somebody's face.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, some of them deserve it, They really do, and the bigger the better. And they've expressed themselves rather angrily in 2005, but they didn't succeed in convincing me.
Tell me a little bit about that. What happened?
Oh, it got terrible. They were planting dope on me and causing me to go to jail and stuff like that. But they couldn't indict me, and they couldn't even get me to arraignment because their cases. I'm a pretty fair detective, and I'd make their cases fall apart by threatening the DAs with big lawsuits.
Where did this happen? In Vegas?
It happened in Vegas. It happened in New Orleans. It happened in Phoenix. They hit me with a SWAT team in Phoenix. And had me sticking machine guns in my face one night in Phoenix over saying that I was on America's Most Wanted. And I told them, I said, no, I'm not on America's Most Wanted, but you're going to be in federal court tomorrow morning if you don't pull that machine gun down real quick.
And they did this right in a public place.
Oh, yeah, they did it in a public place. So I got rather angry. I called Ramsey on the phone and handed him the phone, told him, I said, I'm his chief investigator, and you better cease and desist because we will sue you all the way to the Supreme Court for the whole value of the city.
Who were these characters that were doing
this? There were a SWAT team. There was
from the police department itself.
Five-man SWAT team. Five machine guns right in my face.
who do you think sicked them on you?
Well, there are two options. A friend of the actress Linda Gray by the name of Sandra Rose Michael did it, or it was the boys from Majestic, and at this point it's kind of a toss-up. I don't know who. Linda was a little unhappy with me. And
were you having an affair with Linda?
No, we were having an affair.
I was going to congratulate you. Turned out not to be as friendly as she is on television.
No, though. they faked some love letters that were not what she wanted to hear, and so she bought off on their fake love letters, and we didn't know that they could just intercept your stuff on the computer and rewrite it and forward it on. And they do that these days. They're really crafty. We are run by a government of gangsters.
They can actually take an email and change it.
Instantly.
It doesn't take any time.
No, they do it quick. Believe me, they're really quick at rewriting emails.
Is there any way we can tell if they're doing it to you?
not unless you can get the email that you sent out to somebody
and compare it.
And compare it to the...
Well, that explains my poor relationship with a lot of people.
They're really good at destabilizing you if they want to destabilize you. They can cause you a ton of grief. They can black bag your apartment and steal your 125 videotapes. I want back, gentlemen. And if I don't get them back, you're going to pay for them. Believe me, one way or another, you're going to give me those tapes back.
And would they take those away from your apartment?
Yeah, I had an apartment in Vegas, and they kindly went in there without permission and Blu-rayed them.
You've been around the country, but two of the cities that you've operated out of, Las Vegas and New Orleans, they have a huge underbelly of activity from several standpoints.
Oh, yeah, Vegas particularly. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
That's the slogan was true.
Yeah, I had an incident where a guy knocked on my door at 10 o'clock one morning. I was getting ready to go to the dentist. I opened the door, and he pulled a Glock 45 and stuck it in my face.
It's a 9mm.
Yeah,
right?
A big one. No, this is a big...
Oh, the big one.
The
okay.
big one. He told me, he started hollering at me, and I knew he was nuts or just there for intimidation purposes, so I slammed the door, and I picked up the phone, and I called the cops in the front desk. And he knocks the door down. The cops come. He hides the gun. I kind of just... disturbed him with the idea of stabbing him a half a dozen times with a paring knife, and so he
In other words, the knife had just happened to be there.
It was on the counter he had me backed up against.
And I guess, really, I haven't researched this, but you probably have. If you got shot and you were close enough of a knife,
you can stab him a few times before you die.
You could do some damage.
Oh, you can definitely do some damage before you die.
Yeah, okay.
That was why the 45 got invented in the first place.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The Maori Indians in the
Philippines. Now, did you in all of your investigating time, did you ever carry a weapon?
No, I don't like them. I think they're dangerous. They get you in trouble.
Yeah, if you got one, you might want to use it.
I have a little pocket-blinding laser that'll cause your eyeballs to fall out your head and stop your heart, and it's quite legal to have, and it's very painful.
Well, I'm going to remember not to upset you.
Yeah. It's known to stop. It's faster than a bullet, I can assure you.
Now, when we talk about these things like that, why do you think there's all this violence and investigations? And I mean, everybody knows about James Bond and all those things, but I guess really the secret here is... Two-prong, control and greed, from people that want it. If you got some knowledge, they want it or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, well,
people just naturally nasty?
They just naturally don't have anything better to do than they intimidate people just for entertainment. They like to intimidate people, and I don't intimidate, so that caused a lot of friction, lots of friction.
Now, you're talking about people that work for decent operations normally, right? And they're nothing but two-bit hoods.
Yeah, that's just what I call it. It's government by gangster these days. It's been government by gangster since they murdered Kennedy. And we're heading into a state of what I call the Fourth Reich. We really are heading in. We are a fascist nation now, and we're a quasi-military police state. I got searched for a gun the other day getting on a bus, on a Greyhound bus to come out here. So they shook me down for a gun and shook my luggage down. And what was I going to do, to steal the bus and say, take me to Cuba?
You know, one of those, that's a strange thing. Those bus stations and they go through these little towns. If you were going to get on and cause mayhem, you'd do it in a little town, not in a major bus stop.
Yeah, well, like I said, what am I going to do, steal a bus and get the driver to take me to Cuba? You know,
right.
What am I going to do with a bus?
Right,
you know, get real.
So you're getting hassled still.
So you're getting hassled? Well, welcome to the club. Gordon, we're out of time, but this worked out so well, I need to bring you back on, if it's okay. And we'll talk about Cuba and JFK and Lee Harvey Oswald and all of that. But we're going to get back to 9/11. You're working on some pretty interesting investigations, and we can't give it away right now because it could be a matter of life and death. Hey, it's up our time for this week. We'll see you next week with the Conspiracy Hour, folks. Until then, I'm Jerry Pippin. For Gordon Novell, Janie Swartley, and a few others that help us out, cheers.